Teams accomplish impossible things. And I know sometimes the announcements get a little long on Sunday morning, but let me remind you, we are building teams that take care of impossible things. We are pretty ordinary by ourselves, but with the right team, we can do extraordinary things. Jesus chose a team of 12, and then he invited them to choose teams, and they invited teams. And so we are a part of that succession of teams that gather because we believe Christ is Lord and Savior, and because we believe that Jesus Christ can make a difference in our world. And so we gather from week to week in this place, even on rather gloomy Sundays like today, because we are about a super business, and because we have been given these incredible lives, all of this incredible talent, all this incredible desire to live the life that God intends for us to live out of the Holy Spirit so that we might flourish. As we've been saying, you are not your own project. You are not your own project. You are God's project. And God wants to build into you and with you and to be a very prominent and important part of your life. Can't ignore the fact today is Super Bowl Sunday, so I just, well, throw it on out there and just kind of join that flow today. But I want to join it in saying that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is super. We are participating in this incredible life experience. As I like to say, you can't remember back before your birth, but somehow one day you woke up and you were starting to become a human being and you were starting to have a life that you realized you were a full partner in. And ever since you've kind of got out from under the shadow of your parents, you've been kind of putting together that life and making just incredible decisions that you know help you when they are decisions in line with God's intention for you that allow you to flourish. And you also know that there's some tension in every life that's pulling the other way, and we're looking for resources to understand that tension and to interpret it and sometimes just say no to it and say, look, this life's just too incredible to throw away. It's just too incredible not to live. And Lord, help me, help me. And that's when we find Christ, and Christ makes that change in our heart, and we become a believer, and we know we're not alone, and we're in life for the Super Bowl because we know that it's super. It's rare, it's unique, and there's just no one else that has ever lived our life and will ever live it. It's just entrusted to us. So you can't help but feel that connection today with a game that will be decided in a certain amount of time and in a certain way, but you know that's not the only bowl of life that you're involved in, and we celebrate our life together. I have confessed that I am dyslexic, and so today we're moving backwards in Scripture to a verse that I couldn't let go of in the second chapter of Philippians, where St. Paul is gathering that little team of early church and trying to instruct them and grow them and help them know how fantastic it is to know Jesus Christ and his love, and how fantastic it is to know that you don't have to do life alone, and how fantastic it is that Christ opens so many new possibilities that we could never imagine without him. And so a couple of verses from Philippians 2. I invite you to read along with me if you'd like as we receive this scripture into our hearts today. St. Paul writes, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so our prayer is today that God would open up our hearts and allow his word to fall into our lives so that we may become more of the me that we want to be, and certainly more of the me that God intends for us to be. Yesterday in the checkout line at Winn-Dixie, I overheard Super Bowl conversation. You probably have heard it around town. A group of lovely ladies were really enthusiastic about the game today, and we rehearsed the whole scenario from the missed call in the game that New Orleans was involved in, continued grief, saying that today is not too important for us who live and breathe the New Orleans Saints football, but nevertheless, they were going to hang in there with it. Of course, the referees took it again in a pretty difficult way. One writer said, you know, Tom Brady began to play football before there or play in Super Bowls before HD or high definition television was popular. Most of us have moved up to high definition television. And so they wrote, no one really knew how incredibly handsome he was until high definition television came along. And no one realized how blind the refs were until high definition television came along. And I think maybe they had a point. They said, you know, the good things about the zebras or the referees is that because of their workplace, they get free admission to football games. And they also get a free police escort out to the parking lot after the ball game if there's really, really a bad call. And so there is some pluses to being on the field. Today is an interesting day from all kinds of standpoints. Part of it for us Emory graduates is that the orthopedic unit at Emory Hospital is the medical staff for the Atlanta Falcons, and they have been employed to be the medical staff for the game being played in Atlanta this afternoon. And one of the doctors, one of the orthopedists who works with the Falcons football team and also will be working today said, you know, I go to the games to watch the players. I'm not interested in the score. I don't pay any attention to it. I'm paying attention to the players. I want to see what happens to them on every play, and I want to notice those who get up slowly and go to those who don't get up at all. And he said the way they kind of define my approach to medicine in football is that sometimes the snap's not good. And it's not the snap of the football, it's the snap of a tendon or a ligament or a bone or a muscle or whatever it might be. Sometimes the snap's not good. Sometime in life, the snap's not good. And it all begins at that point of reorientation, of again recovering from a bad break, from an unintentional injury. But we all know those kinds of injuries in life. He says what we want to do as a medical staff is to get those athletes back out on the field as soon as possible, not to strain their recovery, but because we know that within their hearts, they want to get back into the game. They want to be there for as many snaps of the ball as possible. They want to play ball. That's why they're there. It's not about all the other extravagant things. Even, he said, at times, for those who make tremendous salaries, like the $29 million that Tom Brady makes a year, and Aaron Donald as well. They make about the same salary. It's interesting, offensive and defensive player. But the love of being in the game. St. Paul is trying to help the Philippians fall in love with the game, to fall in love with Christ. And he basically is saying, you have met Christ, you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but now I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to go on. I don't want you to just make the team. I want you to succeed, to contribute, to be a leader, to be out front, to decide where your true gifts are and use them for the glory of Christ. And as he talks about working out our salvation, he's not talking about working to earn our salvation, but he's talking about working so that we will be working with God to arrive at where God wants us to be, that God wants us to flourish in Christ, not just to kind of cross the first line, but to get into the game on a continuous basis and to flourish in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives us that invitation. When he talks about working out our salvation in fear and trembling, he's not saying that you should be afraid of punishment or that you should be afraid that you're going to fail. But he's saying, I want you to be desirous, and I want you to long with your heart. I want you to practice and work out with sweat and intention on your spiritual life, just like you long after other things that are far less important in life, like football. Give your best to the faith. Give your best to following Christ and to work out that salvation in such a way that you long not to hurt or disappoint the God who created you and loved you so much that he gave his son for you. We print in the bulletin that great passage from Philippians about the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who thought himself not equal to God, but lay aside the robes of heaven and humbled himself and became a servant because he loved the world, he loved you and me so much that he was willing to take those broad steps. That's a Super Bowl step, isn't it? That's a step for that kind of humility to be taught by Jesus Christ and also that kind of sincerity. And so when we love someone, one of the first things we want to keep before us is that we're not afraid that person is going to hurt us. We're afraid we might hurt them, that we might disappoint them, that we might not allow the very best in their lives to unfold because we have failed them. And he says, that's the kind of love I want you to have for your Heavenly Father as you work out and work into your life that you are intended to live. And then as he warns in other places in Scripture, you know, don't live as to crucify Jesus all over again. My goodness, we start with the robes of heaven being laid aside, and then we arrive at a life well lived and the cross. My goodness, hasn't Jesus shown us enough how much he loves us? Do we want to love him with any less love than that? And that's the challenge, this great challenge that St. Paul gives to us in the Scripture that's so powerful. If you listen to the video, the opening song, which I do not know, I'm bet Reverend Gina is going to teach it to us a little later on, she and Robert, but there was that statement very early, and these pieces don't get chosen haphazardly. They're favorites of our young people. Wasn't that amazing? I like the Fowler drone. The first time we've had a Fowler drone making a video for us. That was cool, I thought. Just shows their intentionality, their sincerity, and always offering the very best to those young people and to us as well. But it started off with that statement about recognizing that emptiness that we have. There is an emptiness in us that can only be fulfilled by knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. Those young people are having honest conversations about their life. And this ministry is giving to them in a very honest way where they're encouraged to tell the truth about themselves, to be transparent, to share their shortcomings and their struggles. Don't we wish for every young person in our city to have that kind of a forum, that kind of a team, that kind of coaching that brings them to Christ and to their God and to how unique they are in their creation? And it's just an amazing team building, an amazing effort to just say, look to these young people, you're in the Super Bowl. And you are a superhero. You see that flash up there? You are a superhero in your own way. Not because you're strong and mighty in yourself, but because you have the living Spirit of God living in you in a magnificent and a powerful way. Well, we come to Holy Communion today, and we are reminded of how generous and good our God is to us. And how through the ages there have been those wise teachers that have taught us how to live. St. Paul knew about the gymnasium, the Greek gymnasium in his time, especially in his travels abroad from his native country. And gymnasiums were not only about working out physically. Gymnasiums were the forums where people brought the new music that they had written, and it was performed. Where writers and poets taught, where philosophers debated, where Christian preachers came to preach, where sculptures whose work we still have today sculpture these magnificent athletes and their statues are promenades on all of these major avenues throughout that world. And so it was this complete individual that St. Paul was associated with in that development, because he believed, and the Greek world believed, we are in this race that's not just about the Olympics of every 4 years, but it's about the continuous race that we're in. And so St. Paul used that language over and over again about being at the starting line, about running the race, about the joy and the challenge of being in the arena, about boxing, about sweating and working not just your physical muscle, but your spiritual muscle to be the very best that you can. And that come on game, we're participating in something that's just amazing. And you are invited into the Spirit and into the flow of that. Work out your salvation. Work out your relationship to Christ and your relationship to God with that kind of fear and trembling, that kind of ambition that doesn't hinder you because of your lack of effort. John Ortberg will have in some of his work this week that some of you will be dealing with this story from his daughter's graduation at Union Pacific College in California. And John is very humble, and most likely he was there as the commencement speaker. But he said the president, John Wallace, invited a few of us together in a room before graduation to meet with a few students. These students who were graduating had decided to give the next years of their life to working in places that were very challenging. They were places that were not adequately resourced, people in poverty, great need for medical care and help. And John said, I knew about these students and their commitment to leave immediately after graduation to serve in just a magnificent way. They had grasped through their education this deep commitment to Christ and this deep commitment in their life to make that manifest and real and practical. And he said, we were so proud of them. And he said, they set these three students in front of us, and the president began his conversation about their contribution. And then he says, the president, Wallace, turned to them to face the students and turned his back to us. And he said to the three students, he said, there is a benefactor that's heard about your commitment and wants to be a part of it. And this person wishes to be unnamed, but he admires you and wants to support you. And because of his admiration and because of his longing to be a part of something that's greater than his single life, he turned to the first student and he said to her, I want you to know that your unseen benefactor is forgiving your $110,000 student debt. And of course, the young lady, John Ortberg said, just couldn't believe those words. They were just too overwhelming. But then she began to tremble. She began to cry. And he said, everybody in the room at that point, they were crying as well. And then the president turned to the second student and said, just want you to know that this unseen benefactor is going to pay your student debt of $70,000 as well. And he said, again, we celebrated this generous gift and we could not believe it. And then the president turned to the third student and said, we want you to know as well that this unseen benefactor has forgiven your debt. And he said, we all knew that she knew it was going to be said, but there was just no way for her to prepare for it because it was just incredible, and there was no way for us to prepare for what was being said. But the president said, this unknown benefactor is going to forgive, pay off your $130,000 student debt. And he says it was an amazing, amazing moment. But he also said in that moment, he said, God says to all of us in the flow of life, the debt that you owe has been forgiven you. It's just incredible for us to get our arms around that, to receive that good news. But in this holy meal, we hear again of that generosity of God who says, it's time for you to get back into the flow of life. It's time for you to get back into the river of the Spirit. It's time for you to remember that you're not just your own little piece of work, your own project, but you are God's project. And all is forgiven, and all is made right. And the reset button has been touched. And we then have the privilege of being nourished and cared for and brought into that living stream as we gather around this table. And we remember Christ's love for us, his forgiveness for us, his continuous challenge for us to join the Super Bowl of life and say, you know, I can't be satisfied. I won't settle for less until I at least move forward as far as I can on this journey of becoming the me that I want to be, on this journey to realize that I am unique and I'm valuable and I'm loved and I'm given a new start when I need one because God is greater than the circumstances of our life. It's wonderful to gather around this table to know that there have been teams behind us that have caused the impossible to happen. And even in heaven, as Lord Jesus Christ was preparing to come into this world, there was, I know, a great team of support, a great heart of the Heavenly Father, and the preparations that come from heaven in the making of this table and the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be summarized, cannot be totally understood. But the only thing we know for sure is that it's given to us. It's given to you. It's given to me. May this table nurture you in this day. May it challenge your life. May it continue the salvation of your soul. May it make you whole, and may it provide for what you need to run your race.